In a world darkened by the fall, we all need light for our daily path. Psalm 119, verse 105 tells us where to find that light. The psalmist says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." The word, the Bible, gives us light, and that's good news. The good news of Jesus Christ is what we need each and every day. This is Gospel Talk with Pastor Wes Breidenhoff. It's great that you've joined us again this afternoon as we search the scriptures together, having our path illuminated by God's Word. Here's your host for this afternoon, Pastor Wes Breidenhoff.
Well, good afternoon to you. Welcome to another edition of Gospel Talk. I'm Pastor Wes Breidenhoff, the host, and I am glad that you've joined me once again. Before we continue with our survey of basic Christian doctrine, I just want to let you know that if you have any questions about anything that you hear on this program, you can feel free to email those to me. My email address, gospeltalk@hotmail.com. Gospeltalk, all one word, @hotmail.com. You can also leave a comment or a question on the blog, gospeltalkradio.blogspot.com, gospeltalkradio.blogspot.com. If you can't remember that address, you could also easily Google, just Google Gospel Talk Radio Program, and you'll find us very easily that way as well. And there at the blog, you can leave your comments or questions that you may have about anything you hear. You can also download past programs. You'll find our archive there. Resources that are mentioned on the program, for instance, as we've been doing this survey of basic Christian doctrine, we've been using the Belgic Confession of Faith as our kind of our guideline for these programs. And you can find a link to that Belgic Confession on the blog as well. So I hope you'll go there and check that out. That address again, gospeltalkradio.blogspot.com, or just Google Gospel Talk Radio Program. You'll find us very easily. So this week on Gospel Talk, we've been looking at the doctrine of justification. We did that in the first couple of days of this week. We talked about how God declares us to be right with himself. That's basically the definition of justification. And we saw that that was on the basis of what Christ has done alone. That's a historic Protestant doctrine of justification. We saw that that justification comes to us through faith alone, through trusting and resting in Jesus Christ and his merits, everything that he has done for us in his suffering and death, in his life, also in his resurrection, his intercession for us at this present time. True justifying faith looks to Jesus Christ alone for everything. Everything that we have in our salvation is in and through Jesus Christ. You know, this is at the heart of the gospel, and that's why it's been said that justification is the doctrine by which the church stands or falls. You get justification wrong, you get a lot of other things wrong. You get it right, you're on the right track with many other things. So justification is key, central, important. The doctrine of sanctification is also important. The doctrine of sanctification is about what follows from our salvation. You know, the root of our salvation is in Jesus Christ and in him alone. The fruit of our salvation is found with sanctification, what the Holy Spirit is doing in us to transform us more and more into the image of Christ. Sanctification is about growth in holiness. And so faith always produces fruit. True faith in Jesus Christ is always producing fruit and leading us forward. And that brings us to today and our topic today, which is the law of God. The law of God. And as I said, we're using the Belgic Confession of Faith as our guide. And so I'd like to read with you from Article 25 of that confession. It's got a title, Christ, the Fulfillment of the Law. And I'll just read that article. We believe that the ceremonies and symbols of the law have ceased with the coming of Christ, and that all shadows have been fulfilled, so that the use of them ought to be abolished among Christians. Yet their truth and substance remain for us in Jesus Christ, in whom they have been fulfilled. In the meantime, we still use the testimonies taken from the law and the prophets, both to confirm us in the doctrine of the gospel and to order our life in all honor, according to God's will and to his glory. You know, when it comes to the law of God, there are two extremes that we find in Christianity. On the one hand, you have the antinomians, Antinomian means against the law. Anti-nomos. Nomos is the Greek word for law. So antinomians are people who are totally opposed to the law of God. They say the law of God has no bearing on a Christian any longer. We are free in Christ. We can do whatever we want, however the Spirit leads us. The law of God is of no concern to us as Christians today. The antinomians, that's an error. The Bible does not teach antinomianism. In fact, if you read Paul's epistles, you find that Paul himself opposes antinomianism in any number of places. So that's one extreme. On the other extreme, we find what are called legalists. The legalists are those who make obedience to the law a condition for salvation. They say that obedience to the law is absolutely necessary for you to earn a right standing with God. Legalists are also those who might say that we get in to God's good books through grace, but we have to stay in through works. We have to put human effort into maintaining this relationship with God. And so the law of God becomes a means for earning favor with God. We call that legalism, making the law into an instrument for salvation. Legalism places an abundance of emphasis on the law and negates the grace of God. So we have these two extremes, antinomianism and legalism. Where does the Bible fall? The Bible falls on neither of those extremes. Instead, the Bible says that the law of God is important for Christians. Christians will want to obey the law of God, the moral law of God. We'll talk a little bit more about that distinction in a moment. But the moral law is basically summarized in the Ten Commandments. Christians will want to keep the Ten Commandments because they love God, because they are in Christ, because they are united to Christ. And when Christ lived his life here on this earth, he fulfilled the words of Psalm 40. He says, "I have come to do your will, O God." Where is God's will found? His perceptive will is found in the Ten Commandments. Jesus Christ kept those Ten Commandments perfectly. He loved the law of God. Over and over again in the Psalms, we read the psalmist saying, "How I love your law, O Lord." Those words are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. He loved the law of God perfectly. Now, those of us who believe in Jesus Christ are united to him through faith and through the Holy Spirit. We are grafted into him. Now, how can those who are grafted into Jesus Christ not share his attitude towards the law of God, towards the expression of the will of God? So, of course, Christians are going to want to obey their Father in heaven. They're going to want to listen to the law of God and order their life in that fashion. So the law of God, according to what Scripture says, is still important for Christians. We don't reject it. On the other hand, we also don't make it the basis for our relationship with God. The basis for our relationship is always in Christ alone. And we have to keep harping on that because there are so many voices in our culture and in the history of the church who've said otherwise. Now, when we talk about the law of God, we have to make some important distinctions. First of all, we talk about the law. There are three types of law that we find in the Bible, revealed to us in the Bible. In the first place, we have the ceremonial laws of the Old Testament. Now, these laws are pertaining to the religious life of Israel, sacrifices, and so forth. All of those laws have been fulfilled in Jesus Christ, so that the use of them ought to be abolished among Christians. Jesus Christ came, he made the sacrifice on the cross, and when he died, you'll remember that the curtain of the temple was torn. That signified the end of the ceremonial system of the Old Testament. After that point, sacrifices for sin are no longer necessary because Jesus Christ has made that perfect sacrifice. Same thing with the laws of clean and unclean. Jesus Christ, during his ministry on earth, at a certain point, he declared all foods to be clean. So you can have bacon with your eggs, you can have lobster with your steak, and so on. Jesus Christ set those laws aside in his ministry on earth. So the ceremonial laws have been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. A similar thing can be said for the civil laws of the Bible. Civil laws of the Bible are found especially in the in the first five books of the Bible, in the Pentateuch, we find laws that pertain to the life of Israel as a nation. Those laws no longer apply to us either, because we are not the special nation of Israel in that sense. And, you know, there is a continuity between the people of God in the Old Testament and the New Testament, but today the people of God are no longer a civil state as they were in the Old Testament. There is a difference. There's continuity and there's also discontinuity. The discontinuity rests in the fact that the people of God are no longer a political entity. And so those laws that pertain to Israel's nation state political life, they also have been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And that brings us to the third type of law that we find in the Bible, and the most important for us as Christians, and that would be the moral law. The moral law existed before the Ten Commandments were given by God on Mount Sinai. The moral law, for instance, states that it is not allowed for you to kill your neighbor. Okay, so when Cain killed Abel, Cain broke the sixth commandment, even though that the sixth commandment had not been actually formally given by God to his people. It was still, it had been revealed that murder is sinful and that it's wrong. So that moral law of God has always been there right from the very beginning, and it continues to be enforced today. And in fact, if you go throughout the New Testament, you'll find many places where the moral law of God, summarized in the Ten Commandments, also summarized in the words of Jesus, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself, that those commandments are repeated throughout the New Testament. So the moral law of God still has relevance and is still important for Christians today. We still need to give attention to that. We need to order our lives according to that. Now, when it comes to the moral law of God, we also distinguish between three different uses of that moral law. And the first is that that moral law of God constantly drives us to Christ. The moral law is like a mirror into which we look and we see our sinfulness. We see that there is much remaining weakness and iniquity in our lives. And so the moral law drives us to Jesus Christ constantly. And this is the reason why if you go to a Reformed church, if for instance you go to a Canadian Reformed church or a United Reformed church, you'll hear the reading of the Ten Commandments every Sunday. And the reason for that is so that God's people would constantly humble themselves before him, recognize their need for Christ, and turn again freshly to Jesus Christ each and every Sunday. So the law of God has that first of all, that convicting function. And the second function is that it's used as a rule for our thankfulness. It is the guide for showing our love and our gratitude to God. It's the guide for showing us how to please God and honor him with our lives. So that's the function in which we show our thankfulness, the fruit aspect of the law. And then finally, the moral law of God also has a continuing role in civil society, that it's still also a guideline for nations today, every nation on the face of the earth. At the end of today's program, I just want to read with you from Matthew 5, 17 to 19. Jesus said, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law of the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill." So the law of God is still important. Well, that's the end of today's program. Hope you'll join me again tomorrow.
It was wonderful that you could join us today for Gospel Talk with Pastor Wes Breidenhoff. This program has come to you today through the kind support of the Yarrow Canadian Reformed Church. You can find us in Yarrow at 42285 Yarrow Central Road. Worship services are every Sunday at 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. You can find more information about the Yarrow Canadian Reformed Church at our website, www.yarrowchurch.ca. That website again, www.yarrowchurch.ca. If you'd like more information, please drop us a line via email at gospeltalk@hotmail.com. Again, that's gospeltalk, all one word, at hotmail.com. You can also call us toll-free at 1-866-288-1087. Again, that number, 1-866-288-1087. We trust that this program has helped you to fix your eyes on Jesus Christ again today. This has been Gospel Talk with Pastor Wes Breidenhoff.